Hey, Paul Golden here with Pat Williams of the Orlando Magic. Just retired in May, but has some new things coming up on his horizon. But we're mainly interviewing him for our upcoming Man Up retreat, June 5th and 6th, here on the campus of Clark Summit University. I'm actually here in Orlando right now interviewing Pat Williams, and I appreciate Pat for taking some time out of his very busy schedule to talk to us. So, Pat, I just wanted to welcome you to the podcast and say a word to our listeners.
Thank you, Paul. Look forward to seeing everybody in early June, and I'm glad that we have a chance to visit here for a few minutes.
Our connection to you, obviously a lot of us know you from your time with the Phillies front office and the 76ers, and most recently several decades with the NBA's NBA Orlando Magic. But tell us about your connection to our school. It used to be called Baptist Bible College, but what's your connection to CSU?
Well, I've been on that campus years ago. I spoke there a couple of times. I had a very good friend. His name was Dr. Wendell Kempton, who had a great affection for that school, thought the world of it. He had been there, you know, teaching and coaching in the past. And so Wendell was kind enough to bring me up. I remember vividly driving up in his car and saw the campus, and I think, as I said, I spoke a couple of times. So I've got good memories, and I'm excited to come back up and see what's taken place in the last 35 years. I think that would probably be accurate. So thank you for bringing that up, and we'll have a good time when I get there.
Well, it's great to have you back. You also mentioned another connection, your pastor. Tell us the church you went to when you were there in Philly and the pastor.
Well, our years in Philadelphia, we lived in Moorestown, New Jersey, and we found a good church and a good grade school for our children, Bethel Baptist College in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. The pastor, when we got there, was Dr. Carl Elgina. And we had a great affection for him. He was a marvelous teacher, a marvelous pastor. He retired while we were still there, but I think he did some work up at Baptist Bible College. I know he had a twin brother named Carl, mm-hmm. And so we got to know both of them. But they all had strong ties to Baptist Bible College, and we were greatly enriched by the ministry mm-hmm. of Carl Elgina.
It's really a small world, and you think about Pastor Elgina, and it's kind of a legendary, the identical twins, and they served, both are alumni of the school,
yes.
And served the school, so it's...
A lot of good names here, and I remember the basketball coach for years at BBC, his name was Huckabee, I believe.
Yep, Coach Huckabee.
Not Mike Huckabee, but...
That's right.
Coach Huckabee, he had a good run up there as the basketball coach, and I got to know him quite well.
Mm. Going back to Dr. Kempton, he was a spiritual hero of mine, always looked up to him, but what was his role in the Philadelphia sports teams when you were there?
Well, we were very fortunate in that period. This would be from 74 to 86, in that 12-year period. There was this great depth of Christian ball players who were there, or men who came to Christ in that period. Bobby Jones came to us through a trade, and he was a strong Christian, and he had great effect on people. And then in the middle of all this, Julius Erving came to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Dr. J.
Which became a huge story. The Phillies, Mike Schmidt came to the Lord, and Bob Boone came to the Lord. Gary Maddox was there, and some of the other Philly players. And the Eagles had a whole crew of guys, most of them defensive backs, Deke Sanders and Randy Logan from University of Michigan, who was a starting defensive back. And Randy was a strong, strong Christian. He's still in the Philly area. And Herb Lusk, who went on to become a pastor. So there was this rich reservoir of Christian ball players. And somehow or other, I remember Wendell and I talking about having a Bible study at his house. He volunteered to do that, and we had to get word to the players, and they came, and I remember that vividly. And then, I do remember this, Wendell and I said, wouldn't it be something to have a a rally, you know, a community rally with all these ball players being there at the church. And we said Bethel Baptist, that would be big enough. So we got the word out. We promoted it, and come on out. You're going to hear Bobby Jones and Doug Collins and Julius Erving and Mike Schmidt and so forth. Well, to an area in Philadelphia, there's sports crazy anyway. That's all they needed to know. And I do remember, you know, people coming and saying, the traffic is backed up for miles. It just backed up for miles and miles and miles. It just was a huge jam. We delayed the start to try and help more people get in there. But, boy, it hit a hot note.
Wow.
And I do remember that one vividly. Wendell, needless to say, he was fired up. He was excited that night.
I always admired Dr. Kempton for his blending of using sports as a platform to reach Christ or others to Christ. So to me, that was no surprise he would do that.
Well, his real reason for living was seeing people come to the Lord. I mean, that's really what motivated him, and that was his whole outlook on life. He loved sports. He'd been a coach. He followed it. He had a great interest in the Philly teams as he got to know these players. But he also, he spoke at other chapels. I remember one Sunday morning he was invited to speak to the Redskins. And that's where he built this strong relationship with the coach, Joe Gibbs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Joe and Wendell became very close. In fact, Joe, when they got to the Super Bowl, had Wendell come down to do their game day service. Mm. So Wendell had this wonderful way of building friendships. People trusted him, and they were comfortable in his presence. And he just had a wonderful impact on, well, just many, many, many people far beyond the sports world. But he loved the world of sports, and I think those were some of his greatest thrills, you know, just being around those guys.
What an honor it was for you back in January 2008 to be part of Wendell's memorial service, and you mentioned some of those guys coming, so it's just neat to see your impact on Wendell, but also Wendell's impact on you and the others there.
Well, Wendell, his death came up pretty suddenly, and I remember talking to his son, who said, Wendell was planning his funeral on his deathbed, and he was talking about you know, one of his grandkids said, Wendell kept saying he's going to have a party. He told his grandkids, we're going to have a party. And one grandson said, are there going to be balloons at the party? And Wendell said, yes, we're going to have balloons. Will there be cake? Yeah, we're going to have cake. And then he said to his son, call Pat Williams, and he'll get the ball players there. So that was Wendell, among his last words were to say, get that guy Williams to get the ball players there. So I got on the phone and tried to reach as many. We got to all of them, really, and most of them came.
Right.
Doug Collins was there, and Bobby Jones flew up, and I don't think Julius Erving was there, but I know that Mike Schmidt came, and Bob Boone came, and Gary Maddox was there, and there were a few others as well. Mm-hmm. Those ball players, I remember there was a tight schedule, and the ball players just blew right by that schedule. So I remember standing up and saying, folks, just relax. This service is not going to be hitting the timeline that whoever planned it. So just relax and let these guys talk and share. So they did. And I think the people really got something out of that.
Right, that was a special night. So from your time in Philadelphia, you moved to the land of Disney, to Orlando, Florida. What year did you come down here?
June of 1986. I had been with the Sixers for 12 years, including our 83 championship team. And I just felt it was time to leave. Bobby Jones was retiring that summer. Julius Erving had announced that he was going to play just one more year. Andrew Toney's career was coming to a close because of those foot injuries that he suffered from. And so the timing was right. And this opportunity to come to Orlando and try and help convince this community, first of all, and then the NBA, to put an expansion team here. and we were successful in that effort. The NBA accepted four new teams, Miami, Orlando, Charlotte, and Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We came in at a staggering expansion fee of $32.5 million. That's what it took to get in. Mm. Today, every team, and I just read this recently, every team in the league is valued. The lowest price is $1.4 billion. Mm. That was Memphis. The Knicks were valued at $4.6 billion. And we, as I look back 30-plus years ago, we came in at 32.5.
Wow.
We came in at the right time. We're now in our 31st season here with the Magic, and it's had a huge impact on this area.
Well, I remember as a kid, Shaquille O'Neal, Penny Hardaway, that was really, no pun intended, a magical time for the city and the state.
Yes, it was. Those were, that was a golden era. We won the lottery twice in a row.
I remember watching that on, I think, TNT, and you were up there, and
we were happy.
Great excitement.
92 and 93. 92 was the year Shaq came out, and in 93, the marquee player was Chris Webber, but we eventually traded that pick, and that's how Penny Hardaway got here. We got three future first-round picks to make that trade, and so we thought that was the best combo here, and it turned out to be very, very good. We didn't win a title. We wanted to, obviously, but those days are still very, very they're special to basketball fans. They remember what went on here.
I saw it recently. I know ESPN did a 30 for 30, and what was the title of that, the 30 for
30? That was about a year or so ago. They came in and did this whole feature on the Shaq and Penny era, actually the whole history of the Magic. And we were very, very impressed with what they did. We thought that they were accurate, they were balanced in their report, and they were interesting. You know, it was quite a period, and they covered that really well. And we got an enormous amount of feedback from that. But
and you were featured prominently as an interview in that, so it's neat to see your role in that, the franchise, really, inception and until now.
Well, they did want me to reflect and reminisce about that. So now, many years later, we're trying to do the same thing and bring Major League Baseball here to Orlando in Central Florida. And once again, I'm out leading the parade here, trying to rally the community and convince Major League Baseball that this is the spot to put a potential expansion team or move a team. So I'm getting to redo everything we did 34 years ago. Mm. In a much bigger city. This Orlando today, compared to where we were when we started up 34 years ago, well, there's no comparison. This has now become a big, big international city, and the growth is, there's no end to it. It's just amazing what's going on here.
Pat Williams here. This is Paul Golden. We're talking about Pat's career, but not only with the Phillies, but with the Magic, and now he's going for a third sport, bringing a Major League Baseball team to Orlando. What is the name of the team, potential team?
Well, we're the Orlando Dreamers, and the reason we're the Dreamers, everybody who comes here comes with big dreams. Hmm. Walt Disney in 1963 came with big dreams of a new theme park on the East Coast. It was a radical, radical thought. And then Arnold Palmer came with big dreams about turning Orlando into the golf capital of the world. And then an astronaut named John Young, he had big space dreams. Here's one for you. An educator named Dr. John Hitt came to a little community college on the east side of Orlando, and he had big dreams for the University of Central Florida, which today is the second largest university in the country. And I think back to a businessman named Jimmy Hewitt who brought me here in 1986, and he had big dreams about helping Orlando become a major league sports city. So everybody who comes here, I believe, they come with big dreams in their life, maybe if corporately, but individually, and they feel that in this area, with all that pixie dust floating around from Disney, that They can put shoe leather to their dreams no matter what they are.
That's great. What is there a website that our listeners can go to for?
There is. It's called OrlandoDreamers.com. OrlandoDreamers.com. Just go up there and learn what we're doing. And if you feel so led, sign up. It doesn't cost you anything. Sign up and say, yes, I believe Orlando would be a great major league city. In fact, when I come down in the spring or summer on my vacation from up here in Pennsylvania, that would be so cool to do all the theme parks and then go see the Dreamers play the Red Sox one night.
Or how about the Yankees?
Or the Yankees. You know, a Yankees Dreamers weekend series. So I think it's that. I think this area touches the world. Last year we had 75 million visitors from all over the world who came here to have entertainment, to have great fun, to experience things that they couldn't experience anywhere else. Those numbers are going to continue to climb. And so to pack in a ballpark, a ball game one night, could be a special experience for their vacation.
That's www.orlandodreamers.com. And after you go to that website, go to clarksummitu.edu/manup. clarksummitu.edu/manup. And there you can get all the details on how to register you and your group for our annual men's event at Clark Summit University with our very own Pat Williams. Pat, what are you going to talk about in the sessions at Man Up on June 5th and 6th?
Well, Paul, I'll be prepared. I often like to watch just to see what kind of an audience we've got, you know, and what might be their mindset, and I can make those adjustments at the end. But I, in a group like this, I love to talk to them about leadership and what we can learn from Jesus as the world's greatest leader. These men are leading in their homes. They're leading in their work. They're leading in their churches, I'm sure. They may be leading in youth sports. They could be leading in a lot of different areas. And I'd like to share with them the seven qualities that allow Jesus to be the greatest leader the world has ever seen. I also, in a setting like that, love to challenge them about how they're doing in their Bible reading and how they're doing in reading overall. You see, most men don't read. They just are not readers, but that is important. To be a great leader, you've got to be a great reader. And so that's another topic I'd like to get into. And so We'll have plenty to keep people on their toes.
Well, great. Well, I'm looking forward to you personally. You have a great sense of humor. I think you're going to be a captivating communicator. It starts at 7 o'clock on a Friday night. We start with a great prime rib dinner. Then we'll move right into our very first session with Pat Williams. We've got a lot of free time activities up until midnight. And we start off Saturday morning with a little continental breakfast, then a service project around campus as a way to give back. Then we have a great brunch planned, and then we end the special man-up weekend with a final session from Pat Williams. So that's June 5th and 6th upcoming. Go to our website, clarksummitu.com/man-up. Pat, you're talking about reading. A lot of people are great readers. You're a great author. How many books have you written?
Well, I've written 113 of the books over these many decades. The most recent one that came out was Lead Like Walt. Mm. And we take a look at Walt Disney under the narrow focus of leadership. Mm. What was it about Walt Disney that made him a great leader? Why is that company of his still so successful and vibrant and growing? Why? Why is that? Well, I think you can trace it right back to what Walt made as a great had as a great leader. And there's so much we can learn about leadership from him. So that's the latest book out. It's called Lead Like Walt. There are a few more in the pipeline over the next year, and we're working on getting them finished as well.
I have in front of me Extreme Winning, 12 Keys for Unlocking the Winner Within You. I have a book that you wrote about Coach Wooden. So I like your sports focus. You go big or go home. You got 140 some books. You also have 18 or 19 children.
Well, we have 19 children. We adopted 14 of those children years ago from four foreign countries. They're all adults now. We're the proud grandparents of 18 children.
Well, congratulations.
And we're enjoying the grandkids very much. In fact, we like them more than the children, actually. we kind of wish we could have had the grandkids first. But right now we're immersed in 18 grandkids. The youngest is about 6 months. The oldest is 15.
Mm.
So that's a whole other chapter we're working on.
Well, we look forward to seeing the pictures. You got to bring the pictures of the grandkids, maybe bring some books. But June 5th and 6th, Man Up. Come here, former Philadelphia 76er and Phillies executive and Orlando Magic VP, Pat Williams. I think you'll have a great weekend. I've enjoyed getting to know Pat here, and we trust that you'll join us June 5th and 6th at the CSU Man Up. Any closing words, Pat?
Well, Paul, thanks a million. Nice to get to know you, and we'll have a good session in early June. I'm looking forward to the trip. By then, in early June, it's even starting to warm up.
And we guarantee the snow will be gone.
Yeah, I think there'll be no more snow. I'll take maybe some mid-70s weather. I could live with that. But we'll have a great time, and I hope many men who are listening will make a point of being there. And above all, bring some friends, perhaps some of your neighbors who are not really church attenders, or maybe don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. This is a setting that is not threatening. It's not intimidating in any way. And so some of your neighbors, I think, would really benefit from coming.
Hey, one more thing before I go. Just recently, tragically, we lost an NBA great, Kobe Bryant. And you were interviewed on Fox and Friends, and I thought gave a great testimony and witness, but maybe give us your personal background and your connection to the Kobe Bryant family.
Well, I was the general manager of the 76ers from 1974 to 86, and in 1975, Joe Bryant was drafted by the Warriors.
Joe is Kobe's father.
That's the father who went by the nickname of Jelly Bean. He was a big guy, about 6'9", 6'9 and a half. Did a lot of things with the ball. He was quite a player. But the Warriors failed to tender his contract properly, and he became a free agent. And we were able to sign him and bring him aboard. You know, that was the same summer we brought George McGinnis over from the other league, and we had drafted Daryl Dawkins and Lloyd Free. I mean, that was quite a year when we brought all those young players together. In 1978, Kobe Bryant was born, and I remember vividly little Kobe being held by his grandparents, you know, with a little blanket around him. He was a newborn, and that's when we first saw him. Hmm. And then the next year, 1979, we traded Joe to the San Diego Clippers, and he was there for a while, and of course, the Bryant family went with him, and then Joe ended up in Houston. And then Joe's NBA career was over, and he went to Italy. And Kobe, during that period, a seven-year period, would be from age 5 to age 12. And Kobe learned to play basketball, really, in Italy and in Europe. He learned to speak Italian fluently. And then the Bryants came back, and Kobe ended up going to high school in the suburbs of Philadelphia. And at the end of his senior year, he wanted to go into the pros. And the Lakers made a very, very bold, risky decision. They traded their center to Charlotte to get the pick. And with the 13th pick, they took him. Mm. 12 clubs ahead passed on him. That was the year Allen Iverson came out, and Philly took him with the first pick. But again, back in those days,